Good morning, it's 7:30, and that makes it time for K1 Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain, or what most people think of as a phone, that is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and uses radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Hosts for K1 Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mall from the IT Village in Dewey. If it's technology related, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up your phone, whether it's rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for K1 Tech Talk.
That does not compute.
Well, we're going to make it compute for you one way or the other because the tech guys are in the studio. Charles and Charles over at the other microphone. Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, good morning.
And looks like we've got a fall weather for starting off the pro team football official season.
Boy, I'm excited.
Are you really?
I'm a Broncos fan. I am so pumped.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to see people pumped and not necessarily for something that I would consider a local team.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, they're not a local, I guess, but there's always just the Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the only ones we're close to.
Well, I mean, my sport, the same thing. I mean, you're always going to run into a Yankees fan someplace, and the Yankees are anything but close. So, you know, it's all good. So, you know.
Well, I woke up this morning, Charlie jumped on the motorcycle, started heading over, got about a block and a half, and decided, you know, a t-shirt isn't enough.
You're right.
I'm just going to run up there and grab me a coat.
Well, and I don't care. It's a good day to, you know, put on that light jacket, I guess, and remind us that fall is coming sooner
it's
or later.
It's coming quickly.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know we're going to have another taste of summer somewhere along the line here.
I'm hoping so.
I like the cooler temperatures, so it's good.
I do like it a little cool. I'm, you know, old Colorado boy, so
yeah.
I do like the temperatures drop down just a little tiny bit.
Well,
that's real good.
And in my experience, the most popular thing that the concession stand at a football game should be the hot chocolate. So, you know.
Yeah. Boy, I love it. You're right up my alley.
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking tech this morning, and Charles Mall, why don't you start us off? What's going on in your schedule?
Well, the common issue seems to be, you know, across the board about on whether it's phones or computers or whatever kind of gadgets, it's performance issues.
Yeah. What?
Performance. So people, because, you know, say, okay, well, I haven't changed anything. Well, how come my machine is not responding? Or, you know how it is on your phone when you push the button and it doesn't do anything. So there's just so many issues. So I thought it'd be a good topic today.
Well, you know, it falls into both of our categories too, because with computers, when it's slow, it's aggravating, and it brings business to me because people get impatient with like the home button on their phone. They keep pressing it, thinking it's not working, and it's actually the machine's taxing, you know, and it's not coming into play, so they'll end up coming in and I have to replace a button because they were impatient.
Well, and I think we notice it so much more on phones frequently, I'll say, or earlier than we do on desktops or laptops, just because phones frequently are more limited in RAM, and they're just doing all sorts of things in the background, trying to do whatever it does in the background and what apps. Some of them actually close when you close the app. Many of the others keep going, checking emails, checking this, checking that in the background.
Sure. Yeah. And there's programs for that even on the iPhone or any kind of phone for that matter. They have tuner programs where you can go in and clean out all the junk files, you know, clean up your RAM a little bit, make it a little faster, and it does work pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got a new phone, by the way.
I do. This is the iPhone 6 Plus, and I'm always a generation behind everybody else. I try to keep up with technology, but sometimes I fall into that one lagged generation, and it's usually building one. But I acquired a phone for parts this last couple weeks. I went in and a customer came in and he said, look, I just want to sell this for parts if you want to buy it. And it was an iPhone 6 Plus. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to do that. And so I bought the phone from him, you know, gave him $150, you know, just because the screen's worth that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, that's all I can give you because I'm not going to buy a damaged phone. But I was up at Apple. And my wife had to do some glasses thing at Zollner, so I thought, you know, I'm going to run over and see if they can unlock this phone. Maybe they can unlock it, and I can see what the problem was with this phone. And it would not restore. And so while I was in there, Apple said, this is what I love about Apple. They just said, well, you know, the phone's under warranty for a year. And I said, but I didn't buy it from you. So it doesn't matter. The phone is under warranty for a year. So they went in the back room, brought out a brand new one.
Cool.
So I got a new phone. And it's a wonderful phone. They work really good. The iPhone 6 Plus has the A6 chip, and now we're going to the A9 chip, which is in the new 6S Plus.
Is that a two-core or four-core processor?
Yes, it's a four-core.
Four is what I thought.
It's super fast, and they have the Force Touch, which I'm going to like too, because I'll get a lot of broken screens from Force Touch. Just kidding. Go ahead, Charles. Tell us what's going on.
You know, we're talking about processors, you know, like the dual core, the quad core, you know, going to the phones. Really, a lot of people don't realize, like on their desktop, if they have one that's at least a dual core, you know, they're choking.
They're behind the process.
Well, it's the software that's being written now. It's basically being written for the fast dual core or the quad core processor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just have to move with the generation of software that's out there. So if you try to get by with a single core machine, you're going to be struggling.
Well, and that's because of the internal speed of that processor. It is, and I know more and more they've got certain operations built into the chip. You don't have to go look at the software to see how to do it. It's all, the chip already knows.
That's right. That's right. So they're getting really smart now as far as functionality goes. That's by the speed now. It's designed for the faster processor. So that's why I tell people, okay, if you have like, you know, less than a 1.6 gigahertz dual core, which a lot of the mobiles have, and they have decent performance. They're designed for low power and low wattage, so they have pretty good performance for a 1.6.
Sure.
But on the desktops, you know, they're like 3 gigahertz and or better, and they're dual or quad core. And they've really optimized them where they run really good. So I'd say if you have a machine that's like more than 5 or 6 years old, you know, it probably has a decent processor. But the older ones, like the original dual core, they're just slow.
Really slow.
You know, like if you have a 1.6 desktop, you know, dual core, it's not enough.
And I'm asked this question quite a bit, Charles, by people that come through my shop. And since I'm not as savvy with software as you are, I can't answer the question, but a lot of people want to know, the more apps or the more programs that you put on a computer, does that slow you down?
Well, it can, but it doesn't have to. Like, for example, we were talking about earlier having multiple programs running at the same time.
Sure.
Like on my Galaxy 4S, because I'm like you, I'm probably two generations behind.
Yeah.
But when I hold down the button, you know, the big button at the bottom.
Sure.
You hold that down, all of a sudden it shows you all the programs that are running. Just like on the iPad, you put your four fingers across the screen, it shows you all the processors that are running.
Yeah.
So basically they did not exit. They're still resident, so they're taking space in your working memory. Because, you know, you have your storage memory, and then you have your working memory, you know, your RAM, basically.
Sure, and like with an iPhone, you can double-click the bottom button, what you call your home button.
Right.
You can double-click that button and bring up all the apps that are running in the background. And then after you bring them all up, you can just take your finger and start shoving them up in the air to get them out of queue, you know, to take them out of the memory. But as long as they're sitting in there, they're using up some of your available speed, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure enough.
And as a phone user, we all occasionally need to look at that stuff. That's just... We may or may not want run some of that running in memory in background. I mean, there are things, again, like, and I'm going to pick on email. That's something most people, most of the time, they want it to go out and check. But if you were checking the Weather Channel 2 days ago, you probably don't need that outdated weather anymore.
Sure, and so you can get rid of that, take it out of your system memory. Another thing I was going to ask you, too, how do you clear out, you know, when a guy has a phone, you know, it's bringing up excess things, like when you're trolling the internet, going to different places, you might build up a whole bunch of pop-ups or things in your cache, or, you know, how do you clear that out?
Well, like on the PC, that's very common. And one of the issues that have to do with performance is when you browse the net, you know, the browser actually is a programming environment. It runs scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people use that to their advantage. So now all these pop-ups and all these things that you didn't initiate.
Sure.
Are part of that script. So just by going to the site, you've kind of opened yourself up to whatever they're doing. And that's why you have to be kind of careful as to which sites you go to.
Sure.
Because once they run, I mean, they can embed themselves where they're a permanent fixture in your machine. And that's why we use malware bytes and some of those things to actually clean those out. But on the like on the Windows machine, you know, there's Alt-Tab is a way you can tab from program to program. And like the Windows key is starting to take significance with Windows 8 and 10 especially. When you hold that Windows key down and you hit the tab, it shows your whole array of programs, just like on the Mac, it does that as well. So you see all these little screens across your display there that tells you all the stuff that's live.
Sure.
So that's what's running in memory. And you can just exit, you can close out of those individual. But some of them will say, okay, do you want to save before we close this out? Because, you know, they actually have an open file, like it may be a word processing file or what have you.
Sure.
So if you didn't change anything, you just close it out. But yeah, all that stuff running in memory is a big issue. And here's another little quirk. A lot of people use Outlook. Mm-hmm. Outlook typically comes with the Office, Microsoft Office product.
Sure, if you're with Office 360, you've got one of the nicer Outlooks that they've done for a number of years.
Yeah. Yeah, it really works pretty well, but it's very memory intensive.
Yeah.
So what I tell people, okay, if you're going to run multiple programs, which I'd say most people do, run Outlook last. So if you pull up QuickBooks or Word or, you know, whatever program that you're going to be working on, load the Outlook last, because if you load Outlook first, it grabs all the memory you can get, and now the other programs are kind of squeezed for space. And they have to swap out to the hard drive. They swap out, come back, swap out. So you see this rattling going on your hard drive, which is essentially people vying for space.
Yeah, you're using the hard drive as virtual memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Good information.
Good little tips, you know, that kind of makes it a little easier to operate. And the other thing I tell people, like especially on Windows machine, Windows 7 and above, it takes 2 gigabytes just for the operating system. Well, if you have a 2 gigabyte machine, guess what it's doing when you run a program? It's swapping out to the hard drive.
You're constantly trying to get space.
And some off-the-shelf computers, they're built for a budget point. So they'll build it with 2.5 or 3 gigs of total RAM, just and assume the buyer knows to upgrade the RAM at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't do that.
That's right. Now, the laptops come an exception. Like if you have a 2 gigabyte laptop, it's probably about the equivalent of like a 4 gigabyte desktop type machine. Don't ask me why, but I know it's performance-wise, it's 2 gig is kind of the minimum that you want to run. But 4 gig on a desktop is the minimum you want to run. So if you have less than 4 gig, I'd be getting more, because everything wants to run in memory. It runs so much quicker there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one big performance issue. And the other is just cleaning the machine up. So, yeah, you don't have so many things running, but those mysterious ones that show up, you know, that are always taking space and they go under the guise of either being some kind of protection or speed up program. Well, they initially load themselves, and especially the free ones, the ones that say free optimizer or whatever. Well, it loads, but then you start noticing it's doing a lot more. It's taking a lot more performance than what you're...
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the programs that you download to clean up software tax your system more.
Well, that can be malicious. Like, for example, I know some that tend to open back doors so other programs start to come on. All of a sudden you said, okay, I did not install that. Well,
going back to Windows 95, one of the first email programs that was out there that people liked was Juno, because it was free. It was supported by the advertising you got with it back in the Windows 95 day, and I know several people still use Juno, and it's a good email program, but many of those cleanup programs, because they're free, they're advertiser supported, and I work in a field that depends on advertising. Advertising is a good thing, but in your computer, it can also sit there longer than the ad ran and take up space.
That's right. And another one to watch out for, too, is as far as kind of bringing in kind of unwanted software, is that AVG. Mm-hmm. AVG is one of those programs which says it's free up front, even though they have a paid version. But as soon as you load that, especially when it loads its little search engine, that search engine because there's like 4 or 5 different things that it loads after it says, well, you need this. Well, you start loading those other things, and all of a sudden you find out you can't even get rid of them anymore, and they start loading more things, which you did not ask for.
Yeah.
So that's why I discourage people using that particular one, because it's notorious for bringing in all its friend software. Because that's another thing, just really bogs your machine down when you have these things doing stuff which really is not in your best interest. And essentially what they're doing you know, instead of the advertising business, mm-hmm. which it's related to, but these programs, when they redirect you to other websites, what they're doing, they're actually making money by you going to that site. It may be a thousandth of a penny, but you know, you have a million people, all of a sudden you get a lot of money for free.
Yeah.
So they're basically funneling that kind of activity because they sell that information. So they're using you.
Yeah, and it's part of that terms and conditions that everybody agrees to because I want the program. Mm-hmm. We don't. How many people actually read the terms and conditions, the you know, conditions of use that, you know, on any program we download?
Right.
Very, very few.
That's right. That's right. It's just this control issue.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they run their machines like the administrator, which has all the rights to install and modify programs. Mm-hmm. But that also opens it up when you have your browser open. And that's what another thing I discourage is, you know, when you leave your machine on, at least log off. Because if you leave it logged in, you have all these scripting tools. And if you have some website that's open, he says, well, here's a nice place to go. You know, and they start kind of loading you up. And so, you know, you leave yourself exposed.
There are a lot of good cleanup programs out there. You mentioned one, Malwarebytes, just mm-hmm. because. And as I think, Malwarebytes also has a free version and a subscription, and sometimes a couple level of subscription. I don't remember.
Yes,
but,
it does.
But there are some very good ones out there that will do a lot of things for you for free and not load you down too badly.
That's right. Malwarebytes is probably the popular one, just like SpyBot was few years ago.
Right.
Because and the difference between the free version and the paid version, the free version you have to manually do your scans. So it looks and it goes inside your browsers and all these programs that, you know, leave kind of these vulnerabilities. It'll look out there and says, okay, well, these are the guys that basically have loaded stuff in your browser, and it gives you the option to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Now the paid version, it's proactively looking. It's as soon as it loads, it you know, it basically gives you a little status update that says, okay, some unwanted programs just tried to load. You need to do something with it because it doesn't automatically clean them out, but you have to basically says, yeah, I don't want that, and let it go.
Okay.
Interesting.
918-336-1400, our telephone number for your calls this morning on K1 Tech Talk.
Great fans are part of what helps lead the team to victory. That's why American Heritage Bank is your number one fan. Since 1905, American Heritage Bank has put its customers and communities first. As a full-service bank, American Heritage is committed to meeting your banking needs. Whether you need us once a week or once a month, we are here to serve you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com and let us be your number one fan. American Heritage Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC.
I'm visiting with Brandon Huff from Bartlesville Custom Cabinets. When people hear custom cabinets, they tend to think of kitchen cabinets. Do you do other cabinets in the home?
We do bathrooms. We build desks. We have entertainment centers. We do complete closets. We do tons of those things as well. Office cabinets, desk areas with the bookcases, entertainment centers. I mean, it's endless what we do.
Bartlesville Custom Cabinets, providing all your cabinet needs. 398681 West 2400 Road. Call 918-440-5981 to get a free estimate on your new project.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers that get you on the air on this edition of K1 Tech Talk. Talking some performance issues and around the table this morning around both smartphones and on computers. And, of course, I want to at least mention with your newly acquired phone, it's not a brand new phone off the shelf, but the 6 Plus getting a lot of good reviews. Very comparable to the Note 4 at the time it came out. Note 5 is now out, and I haven't taken a look at that because it hasn't been out that long.
Well, yeah, this was the latest phone a week ago until they announced the 6S Plus.
Right.
But it is right behind the leading technology. But I've seen already, I've gotten to play with the 6S Plus.
How do you like it so far?
It's really neat. The Force Touch is nice because if you do have an Apple Watch and you're accustomed to how that's working, if you reach up on your watch and press down just a little bit of force, it opens up different options. And it's going to do the same on the phone with that Force Touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more engineered to withstand a little bit more pressure. I think the screens are a little stronger than they've been in the past. So I think it's going to be a good phone for everybody. It does offer a lot of performance enhancements.
Okay. And I noticed a lot of the touch screens in at least several phones that I've looked at recently. I haven't looked at the one you've got. There is an adjustment on screen sensitivity so that, you know, if you're wearing gloves or some other thing that might not give it either the touch or the heat of a hand being there, that they can, you know, read it easier in some environments.
Yeah, and it's great for people who, let's say, do have a glove on.
Yeah.
It's winter time. The force touch, you can actually activate programs where you couldn't do it in the past until you took your glove off and had heat transfer to open up the program. This is kind of a nice feature.
Okay, so some new features on that one. And the phones are constantly changing, or the operating systems are getting updates. I recently got an update on the Android system, and I didn't notice a lot of change, but I'm sure there was a lot of stuff going on in the background that wasn't there before. So those upgrades are usually nice to take, but we've also, as you remember on one of the Apple upgrades, they can cause some problems if they're not properly vetted. So
that's right.
Yeah, it seemed like 16 gig is not enough now for a phone.
It's not enough. You have to have quite a bit more. That's why I was a little shocked. I know the new 6S Plus, and those are starting at like 32 gigs. I don't think they have a baseline 16 gig. In fact, I was reading that just recently. They don't have that 16 gig because the operating system in itself and all the software that it takes to run the phone requires more than that. And I think that 16 gigs is not enough. Everybody that has a 16 gig phone that I know are already starving for space. So most of it has to be sent up to the cloud. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing else you can do.
Yeah, I ran into that with my iPad. I've got 16 gig, and just trying to do updates, they said it wouldn't let me update. I said, you can't update all your programs because you don't have enough memory.
Now, you're running a 5S?
I'm running the Note 4.
That's a really good phone.
Yes.
Very expensive screen repair, I might add.
Probably not the best, but good screen protection on that one.
Good. I hope you do, because that's an expensive one to replace when people come in and want to get that one changed out at times. Yeah. They're a little shocked at the price.
It does have the ability to put a micro SD card in it, so I do have that upgrade to be able to shove more programs off onto the SD card and not using RAM per se.
I know that Apple has never allowed the SD card, and I think the reason for that was for security. Mm-hmm. Everything about their software is to prevent any kind of virus or any kind of a thing getting in and corrupting your system. So having an external drive like that could come from anybody else's device, they don't like that.
Right.
They've made it to where it's kind of complicated to share pictures. I mean, you got to send it through email or some other format. I can't just zip it to you. You know, you have to have programs. If you're an Apple person, Apple can share with Apple, but you can't share with Android.
But you can't do near field transfer with my phone. So
no. Yeah. Okay.
We'll take a final break and wrap up K1 Tech Talk coming up in just a bit.
New to Pawhuska is Premier Gun and Pawn. Not so new to Pawhuska are pawnbrokers and owners John and Debbie Long. They've opened their doors where you'll find almost anything, with new items arriving every week. Artwork, beautiful, hard-to-find antiques, Pendletons, broadcloth and beading supplies, small and large cedar chest, along with a cedar armoire. Hand-carved, life-size, and smaller wood art, and many unique items are in the mix, with guns, ammo, fishing, and hunting supplies. They carry high-end, handmade guns, collector guns, and then your very affordable guns. Many to choose from. You'll find tools, tackle, knives, gold and silver jewelry, gold and silver coins for the coin collector, and metal signs as you peruse the large open space of the newly opened Premier Gun and Pawn. And yes, they buy gold and silver, so stop by. Hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 6, and Saturdays 9 till 2. Premier Gun and Pawn at 540 Kaihika in Pawhuska. Call 918-287-3456.
Train Endurance engineers stop at nothing to push our products to the brink. They put our heating and cooling units up against everything, from flamethrowers.
Face to control, better move that. Tanker truck.
To ultra-high pressure fire hoses.
It's like 10 years of power washing all at once.
Point is, they've devised countless ways to push train systems to the limit. Even catapults. Yes, catapults.
Call Ernest Heating and Air for seasonal promotions, rebate offers, and special financing terms. Phone 918-335-3051. That's Ernest Heating and Air in Bartlesville. Phone 918-335-3051.
It's hard to stop a train. Really hard.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1, and we are spending some time talking technology. Still have about 3 minutes or so if you'd like to get involved in the conversation. We're talking performance issues with computers, with laptops, with tablets, with phones, anything that has RAMs and microprocessors. We'll talk about it this morning.
Yeah, yes. I might just add that it's really a good time to buy memory and hard drives.
Okay.
And most people don't swap that stuff out unless they have a problem.
Well, we talked about that a little bit last week, but yep. Getting a larger hard drive, a newer hard drive for a machine that the hard drive is more than, and you picked a number, I'm going to say about 4 years, 5 years old, it's a good idea to proactively replace that hard drive.
And I tell you what I've been doing is, you know, the hard drives are so cheap now. Like, you can get like a terabyte drive for $80, or, you know, it's less than $100 now.
And for about 20 more, you can double it, a 2 terabyte.
So sure, yeah. Enough. But the key is, you know, they have the different caliber drives. I go for the high performance drives because they're, you know, it might cost you $20 more, but now you got one that's had like a 5-year warranty, and you can actually, like, for example, if you have a Windows 7 machine and it's got an older drive, you can actually clone that and make an exact duplicate of it, so you don't have to reinstall anything. You basically just go to the new drive.
It saves
a bunch of time.
Now, and I was reading online after you and I talked last week, the difference between copying and cloning. There are some differences. As I recall, one, you have to manually install the operating system and then do the rest of it. And then there's some operation that basically will just copy everything, right?
Right, but that's why it really helps to get a utility designed to operate with these newer standards they have, because mm-hmm. there's all kinds of hidden partitions on your drive that are used for several different things. So if you have something that truly clones it, the worst case issue is your license is all of a sudden, it wants to renew.
Mm-hmm.
It says, well, you just basically have to put your license in, so you need to be prepared for that. But otherwise, it's just an exact duplicate.
Yeah. So, but if you do it the way you described it last week, starting off formatting the drive, adding the operating system, then using the utility, that will transfer all those licenses, and
right.
it is a authorized version of Windows and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just when you're going from XP to Windows 7, now you're changing platforms.
Right.
So that's a little different scenario. But yeah, you definitely need a faster drive and memory and processor to do the new stuff.
And I noticed drives seem to be coming with more buffering RAM in them too, so that mm-hmm. they just overall speeds up the drive.
Sure enough, significantly.
Yeah. If people have questions about some of the things we talked about this week, last month, or something that we haven't addressed to their satisfaction, you guys are available. They can walk in NBR Electronics and say, hey, can you help me out with this, right?
Yes, 510 South Keeler. You can walk in the door and ask questions. Now, I charge by the minute. But
it's a nice thing about free radio.
I'm just messing with you. But we do. If you're going to take a lot of time, I would have to charge for long periods of time. But normally a person can come in and ask a question, and I can answer.
Or we can answer it for free next Saturday morning on the air.
Yes, we can always answer it on the air. You can call in. This is a great time to be able to do it. Of course, Charles knows how time is valuable.
That's right. That's why I really don't make myself that available. And I do let a lot of phone calls go to voicemail, because I just can't take that much time because my days are just packed. So that's why I have my website.
And that website is?
Well, right now it's the calendar, the BartlesvilleCalendar.org,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you can actually sign up. So we can set a rapport up that way and schedule whatever. But then I'm setting up the IT Village Tours, which is going to be where I actually build my IT Village environment. So that'll be coming up soon.
Okay. And news on the way next.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
Even enlisted prisoners to finish building the razor wire fence between Hungary and Serbia.
Correspondent Charlie Daggett in Roska, Hungary. Germany's